There's a word in Ephesians 2, verse 16, that might help us with regard to answering what is peace. So what's in, maybe it's in the contrast. What's the opposite of peace? And in verse 16, it says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So there was enmity. Enmity is a result of, obviously, conflict. There's a resistance. There's a reason why two cannot be together. There's enmity. And whether it's between people, whether it's between groups of people, or whether it's between man and God, there's enmity. And so what is the cause of the enmity? That's the first question. Why was there enmity? And what had to be settled?
Sin has come in, or sin came in. There's a verse in Psalm 103 that says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So that's a wonderful verse. We read it all the time. We hear it all the time. He has not dealt with us after our sins. But some people have the idea that that means that when it comes to the question of sin, God's mercy is that he can sort of just forget it, or, you know, put it under the carpet. But when it says he has not dealt with, the key word, with us, he has dealt with it, but not with us. He dealt with it in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This establishes the basis that we can have the peace. That's what righteousness is. That if we look at Romans chapter 1, we see the very essence of the gospel is the righteousness of God. That's really what Romans is about from beginning to end. So he says in verse 16 that this gospel, the gospel of God, is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes. But then he says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. See, it's on this righteous basis that God and man brought the back to, in that unity, that peace, that reconciliation. And we'll see when we come to Colossians that it was not God that was alienated or needed to be reconciled. It was on our part. But God dealt with the question of sin in the person of his Son. So justification, that word is connected with righteousness. It's this, basically the same word. So it's God declaring you righteous. That's what justification is. Reckoning or declaring you righteous. Those are the one who believes in the Lord Jesus.
And in chapter 4 of Romans, again, verse 20, when it speaks of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So there we find his faith rested in what God had said. What had God said to him? Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that's what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now I want to just draw the attention to the difference in Abraham and ourselves today. Abraham believed that God was able to do what he promised. But when you notice here now, but verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So for us, we don't believe that God is able to do it, but we believe that God has done it.
Yeah.
And there's the foundation for us. He has done that. He has raised him from the dead that went into death for our sins, our iniquities, as we've heard. And so there's the righteousness of chapter 1, as our brother Brian brought out, is a, what should I say, it's a more sure ground than even if we speak about, many speak about God's love. Mm-hmm. And that's very unique. But when we speak about God and righteousness saves us, that goes deeper. That's a solid, you know, when we think of love, it fluctuates in our part, at least, not with God, but in our part. And when we think of what God has accomplished and set this before us in, he has righteously that, and therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. On the principle of faith to faith is what God has wrought, and the righteousness of God is revealed there in the cross. Not only his love, that's what I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. Not only his love is revealed, but his righteousness is revealed. So he's done the right thing when he set Christ, raised him from the dead. It was the right thing. And it's the right thing, the righteous thing for him to do when he takes us who were sinners and accepts us in his favor on the basis of what Christ has done.
When we go back to the question of what is peace and what is justification, I think it's important for us to see that a little bit later in this chapter, down starting at verse 12 and onward, the Apostle Paul brings in Adam. And I think it's important for us to think about Adam, because this is where this peace was lost. And it was because of Adam's disobedience. And the direct result was that Adam ran from God. He had no peace in fellowship with God any longer because of sin. And so that interrupted the righteousness of God. From Adam's perspective, was affected. It could not flow to Adam because it was affected. But from Adam's perspective, from Adam's side of things, he couldn't enjoy the peace of God anymore because of the guilt of sin, the guilt of his disobedience. And so when we read this verse in chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified, it's past tense, based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Brother Jakes mentioned, it's past tense with a present tense reality. And so it's really good for us to see that, having been justified by faith, that's past tense, but what is the present tense reality? We have peace with God. That which was lost with Adam has now been regained through Christ. And this is what he goes on to outline here in chapter 5. But how good to see that this manner of reconciliation, now that we have been reconciled, we have been brought back to God, and we've been made in a right condition so that we can enjoy the presence of God. The thing about justification, a quick definition, is not, as some people teach, just as if we hadn't sinned. That's not justification. It sounds good, but it's not justification, because that would take us back to the Garden of Eden. And we have been declared by God fit for his presence. That's the idea of justification. That now, through the finished work of Christ, we've been declared righteous in Christ. And how important that is. And so, at this very moment, any of us could pass away and enter into the presence of God, not based on anything that we've done, but based on entirely upon what Christ has done. And so we've been made fit for the presence of God. That's a tremendous truth that we're getting here in Romans chapter 5.